Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to a weekly episode of the What Fulfills You podcast. My name is Emily Elizabeth. If you are brand new to the show, welcome as always. And welcome, of course, if you have been tuning in for a while. For today's episode, I'm diving into a topic that has been on my mind lately. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you guys for this week, it is no surprise that earlier today I was on the phone with my dad and was actually going off about how, more or less on this topic, how I feel like he has not taken initiative to leave the small hometown that I am from, where I was born and raised, but where he has been, both my mom and him, have been for the past 30 plus years. And our hometown is not just a small hometown. It is literally, by data, like 8,000 people in this specific town. And of course, you know, we are like more than an hour away from Philadelphia. So, you know, our area, it takes a lot of effort to go to places like, you know, to go shop, to go eat, or to even travel. If they want to go to the airport, it's like an hour and a half to the airport. And so I was just going off and just telling him that, you know, especially at his age, you know, that he's in his 60s, both my parents are, they don't have all day or all the months in the world or all the years in the world to just kind of wait and see. And I think that's also what got me a little more fired up for this episode, because I realize in talking to a lot of my friends when they come to me and ask me about how they can do this or how did I get into this and all this stuff, the key difference in everything I've done in my life is all around taking initiative. And I see it all the time, night and day. And I want to preface before I dive into some of the examples, I know taking initiative is not just simple or black and white, because especially as you get older, there are a lot of other factors into play. And that's kind of the pushback I got from my dad as well. But considering in this context, when I was talking to him, their desire to move to Florida or like move somewhere else outside of the very rural hometown that they live in, they've been looking at this for years, right? So at some point, you got to bite the bullet. You can't always have an excuse like, oh, the market's not good right now. Well, it wasn't like that 5 years ago, you know? And I think that's often the case for most people when people are talking about how, I don't know, they want to move to a new city or they want to leave the relationship that's not healthy for them or they want to leave the job that's not fulfilling. It's always talk and no action. And I think the biggest one I see, especially because I do have a focus on career for this show, I think the biggest one I see is in career path. Now, obviously, if you followed along my story for a while, you know that I did leave my corporate sales job, wow, crazy enough, just about 3 years ago. 2021. Wow, that is pretty insane. I remember it vividly. I was in an Uber going to the hotel I was staying at in Miami. I was on the way from the airport. And I remember I was reading 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. And I just remember it bothered me so much that I had to ask for time off or for like a half day for like the Thursday and Friday during this trip, knowing that I have fulfilled my, not only just my quota, but had exceeded it already at that time of the month. And so I know that I can rely on myself to deliver results. And all that to say, I just remember that the feeling I wanted to feel in my life, and especially in my career, is a feeling of autonomy and especially freedom of time, because that is often the constraint in most careers and jobs, which is that there's always this, oh, I can't do that because of work, or no, I can't make it to that because of work, or, you know, whatever, right? I'm not saying everyone should look into becoming their own boss or becoming an entrepreneur, because there's a lot of cons that comes with that as well. You have to be really reliable on your own to make your own money, right? And so it's not like you're getting a salary. You have to actually go hunting yourself. And so there's a lot of pros and cons, but all I know is that at that point in my life and to this day, I've always valued the autonomy of time. And I do know that there are some other jobs that actually provide that as well. And I think that's where I would start, is if you are someone who is feeling stuck in your career and the journey, and you know you don't love what you do, because I have this conversation all the time with some of my closest friends, like at dinner, like everywhere. And so I see this as a pretty common pattern. Now, some people kind of have an idea of what they will do next to kind of adjust and pivot. I think of one of my very close friends who listens to this podcast. I think she's one of the very few people I know who is not too rigid about what the next step looks like, but she's also pretty clear about what the best next step would be in order to kind of test out, like, hey, would this be a better fit? So for example, right now she works remotely for a company where she works like Pacific time, and so where she's on Eastern time, and she is more or less kind of like an account manager, I believe, for like SEO related industry. And she's been at it for a while. I know she makes great money from it, although I guess it's always like questionable how far that money takes you in a city like New York. And she's actually very wise with her money, so it's really fun to talk to her about these things. But she has shared with me, okay, so there's been this dabbling idea of, okay, I want to work in a field that will make me more money and something that's maybe a little bit more engaging and more interesting, right? So like she has an idea, like she's like talking about these things. And I think that's something I would encourage you to do if you are like in this position right now, is kind of take into consideration what you like and what you don't like in your current job or your current career or where you're at in your career. Because I think when you are able to be clear, like, okay, the next role, I do want to be able to make more money, but I'll paint her example because I think it's really good. She knows or has considered going into finance would definitely make her more money, right? How obvious. However, she doesn't want to give up all the time and you know, her weekdays to be like in investment banking or to be in a industry that's maybe very time consuming despite the money, right? So she's considered alternatives like working at a startup, but working maybe a little bit in the finance area, things like that. Because in startup culture, while it is pretty rocky for obvious reasons, startup culture, right? It is innovative and it's different and it's changing, and there's a little bit of less corporate structure. And I think that's something she's very self-aware of that she wants to give a try, right? So that's an example I've seen that I do think is very like taking initiative and taking the steps towards that, versus a lot of other examples I've seen through just hearing conversations or talking to other friends and peers on my own. I'm hearing a lot of, okay, I'm not loving sales. I don't love it, but I don't really know what I want to do next. And it's literally the same conversation, same sentence, over and over again for the past year, you know. And at some point, I think everyone has to ask themselves, is it me that's getting in my own way? You know, like, am I the reason why I'm not in a place that I want to be in, right? It's not always, oh, my job sucks, or I'm in an industry, or I don't like my boss or whatever. Sometimes it's just the fact that if you've been talking about it for long enough and you haven't taken action on it, it's kind of you that's the problem. You know what I mean? And I know that's kind of harsh to say, but I think that's why I was kind of sharing that with my dad as well. Love him to death, and he's, you know, my best friend, but I'm very passionate about helping people kind of, you know, like have that wake up call in life, because not to be all cliche on this whole life is short thing, but it really is, right? And the longer you wait, especially for those of you listening in your 20s and 30s, listening to this podcast, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. Because when you're younger and you try these different things and you take initiatives and you take different risks, such as financial risks, if you're like going into a field that you think you'll like better, but maybe it's a pay cut, right? You have more leeway to take that risk at 25 than you would at 35, let's say, especially if you maybe have a kid by then, you know? And so I think that's something to keep in mind, to kind of light that fire under you, because I was telling my dad the same thing. You don't have all these years left. Like, you know, I mean, again, we never know in terms of like myself. I was about to say, okay, like myself, I'm in my 20s, right? But I don't say that to be dark or to be mean by any means. I'm actually saying that to kind of light a fire under realizing like you have to shift out of that mentality. And I think this is great for you guys too. If you have parents and this is something you think about for them, like share with them, you know, you can't be in the mentality that you were in your 30s. Like my parents kind of think sometimes, I think in the framework of, oh, we're still in our 30s and 40s. And they're thinking about like the mortgage and they're thinking about, you know, 15 years out and all this like family planning. It's like different phase now, you know? And so I think going back to the career path and finding something that's more fulfilling besides just switching jobs, right? Why don't you consider adding something new on the side? Maybe it's part-time remote, or maybe it's freelancing. I actually know a friend of a friend that I don't know if she does it still, but she actually once worked two full-time W-2 jobs that were both remote. So talk about great money, but you know, it's sometimes you got to do what you got to do to figure out a better course of direction and course of action in your own life. And let's say you don't even know where to begin, right? Whether you should pick up something on the side or whether you should switch jobs, but like maybe what industry or what would differ in the next job. Think about going into a deep dive into how you want to feel on the day to day. I see so many people thinking about their career path more in a sense of the what instead of the how. And what I mean by how is like how you feel on an average day working, right? I remember vividly still back in, I want to say, early 2021, or maybe it was like, yeah, late 2020, right? So towards the end of that pandemic year, I remember that one of the best things about my sales job was getting to interact with my team, my coworkers, and actually go to the office. And the main thing too with the sales that I was in, we weren't in the office all day. We were actually in the office for maybe 3 hours of the day. And then the rest of the day is on your own time. You're out in the quote unquote field is what we call it. And it's really fun because I got to really feel connected to the people that I was working with and what I was doing. And when that switched to remote because of the pandemic, I remember, I think probably like 9 months in, I started to feel really exhausted. I started to feel sluggish, a little unmotivated. Although I think the one thing that helped me get out of it for a bit was actually making a pretty crazy move, like very much on the whim. I moved from Orange County to Los Angeles in less than 3 weeks, and I made that decision all in one weekend. From literally the thought of the idea, moving to LA occurred on like a Thursday night. I believe by Saturday morning, I was driving up looking at apartments, and by Monday, I made the decision I was going to move and I signed the lease. So, speaking of initiative, right? That's literally the same thing. I try not to overthink some of these decisions, because the overthinking part is often what leads to procrastinating on getting the thing done. And I know for myself, I've always been very self-aware of how I want to feel on the day-to-day. I think my own epiphanies, my own mental battles, whatever, in college, I think really led me to diving into that, which is why I created this podcast. But going back to looking into how you want to feel, right? It's a question of, okay, for me, I wanted to feel like I had more control of my time and I wasn't being micromanaged, because I know myself that I'm reliable, right? So maybe you're someone that wants to feel creative and you want to feel more energized, and you know that you feel more energized when you socialize with people, right? So in that case, perhaps it's important that you don't work a fully remote job, right? So this helps you narrow down which direction you go in. Because like I said earlier, I think oftentimes we're not questioning what it is that we really want, and therefore we're not that clear in the direction we go in. I think something else too that just came to mind, I share with a great friend of mine, he's been on the show, mentioned him many times, Harry. You know, I was telling him he's played tennis for like all of his life since he was a young kid, and he played Division I tennis. He's a very high level, former national level tennis player. And as he's been navigating his post-grad life and direction, we've had a lot of conversations, and he's been, you know, dabbling with coaching tennis as a pro, and then also thinking about going into real estate and all these different things. And I tell him, you know, while I think it's worthwhile to definitely give real estate a try and see how that pushes him into, or not just, it just pushes him out of his comfort zone and makes him learn different things in the real world, I think it's also important to consider other ways to utilize tennis and more or less capitalize on that, because you have to think about what's your core competency. My dad and I talk about this often as well. And your core competency is often what you will do best at with less effort. Barbara Corcoran talked about it on Shark Tank as well, which is one of the easiest things you can do for yourself is find something that not only are you interested in, because that is huge leverage in a competitive field, something that you're interested in, something that you're passionate in, but also something that you're really fucking good at, right? So for me, I've been doing social media, blogging, all of this stuff that I used to get made fun of in college. I've been doing all of this content creator stuff when I was in California since I was a freshman. Since I was a freshman in college, I wasn't making money off of this. I don't even know how many followers I had, probably like 1,000, 2,000 followers. But the trial and error, the day in and day out, the practicing, all those hours. If you remember, if any of you guys read Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, he talks about 10,000 hours, right? I've had those reps in kind of like the social media blogger world that enables me to then open an agency, right? Where I work with businesses and I help them on branding and social media strategy and actually beautiful curated content. I do that for myself. I do that for brands as a creator, right? So all of it isn't random. And I encourage this thought process because instead of thinking completely outside of the box in maybe your next step in your career, think about what are some of your core competencies. And even the friend that I alluded to earlier about how she decided, okay, finance would be the industry switch, but she also wants to maybe work in a startup environment, right? Funny enough, her first job out of college was related to finance. And I believe she actually studied that in school. So point of that is, it's what she's going to do next is actually not, while it's different than what she's currently doing in like the SEO industry, she's actually going back to one of her core competencies, or, you know, like, I don't know if she would necessarily call it that, but I'm going to just personally label it as that. It's because she studied it in school or something related to that in school, also had a finance related career right out of college. So it kind of makes sense for her to give that a go. But one of the big switches is that, okay, instead of a corporate Fortune 500 environment, she's now doing it in a startup environment. So wrapping this portion up, just giving you guys some ideas to think about small ways to start taking initiative that would actually lead to the right direction versus trying to throw something at the wall and seeing if that sticks. Besides career change and career path, another big area I've noticed a lot of people my age often want to take action on, but also are very slow to do so, is changing locations or changing their environment. People talk about, okay, wanting to move to this city or wanting to move to a different apartment or just some sort of physical change. And once again, staying in the same place. I shared earlier that when I moved to Los Angeles, if you guys followed me back then, right, I lived in Orange County for 5 years. It was all 4 years of college and then the year after I graduated, through the year after I graduated. And it was literally in the middle of the pandemic, the most, I guess you could say, weird time to move, right? I moved literally end of summer 2020. Moved to LA, and interestingly, I actually had plans to move to New York in 2020. Obviously, this is before the pandemic happened. And so LA was actually never in the cards, but it ended up being a buffer because I felt like OC, my chapter in Orange County, had ended. And mind you, I told a lot of my best friends in college, I would never move to LA. And I also said that about New York too. Okay. So I have, once since that, I've not ever said never to certain things. But moving to LA wasn't kind of like a logical, I've been thinking about it for months type of thing. It was just a sudden realization that I was physically stagnant. And because everything's remote at that time, I'm not really risking anything by physically moving, you know? And so I became curious about LA that summer, which is weird because LA was more closed off or closed down or whatever you want to call it compared to Orange County. And I think I saw things getting better by the end of that summer. So I was like, all right, let me just go check out some things. And like I said, I made that whole decision within a few days over a weekend. If you are living somewhere right now and it's not like you can just drive where, okay, in Orange County, it's a 45-minute drive to LA. So it's very easy to do in a day, right? If I, let's say at the time, if I was in Orange County, I wanted to move to, let's say, Austin, Texas, I think the first step that I would do is just start looking into that city. I would start looking into living options. I would start to like go on YouTube probably and look at like people's live, like, you know, like vloggers in Austin. I would probably like look into that. That's just at least my approach. I did the same thing for New York, although New York, I had more hands-on experience. So I very much knew that I wanted to live there. I know a lot of like-minded people there. So it was very obvious to me, but I think the biggest thing is I don't just sit around and talk about it. I just go and do the thing that I say I'm potentially interested in. I think that's the same thing when it came to moving to New York. I know New York was a bit more of a long-term plan for me. So I moved to LA end of summer 2021. And the reason why I timed it out like that, by that point when I realized like the timing would work out, was because I knew, okay, I'm going to sign this lease for a year. And a year later, hopefully New York is back to normal. All things are good. And I would move to New York right before fall starts. And that was literally my plan. And it went as planned. I moved to New York. I remember that day. It was August 25th, 2021. And I took a red eye flight. It's very nostalgic. Wow. Took a red eye flight from LAX. Had two suitcases with me. I had already shipped my car, I think like the day before my flight. And just took a red eye over and said goodbye to LA. And I remember when I was looking at potential apartments to live in New York City, I found the one I ended up living in like on the first look and like the first try, like the first unit I looked at, I snapped my fingers like, yep, this is the apartment I'm gonna live in. And I did that actually almost, it was like basically 6-7 weeks before I knew I was physically ready to move, because number one, I didn't want to be in New York for the summer, but secondly, my lease was ending early September, and while I was going to leave before my lease ended, I didn't want my lease to overlap too much, you know. So even though I found the apartment really early out before my move, it ended up working because I was able to extend my move in 6 weeks from the time I signed the lease. All that to say, I'm telling you guys that these are things that I've done in my own life to get the results that I currently have, and what you have seen on Instagram and through this podcast, everything has literally just been initiative, right? I said I wanted to move to New York. I, you know, made a plan to go there in, this was around July 4th. This was around, 4th of July. I went out there for a week. I took that week to, you know, just enjoy being in the city, but I also looked at apartments and I narrowed down, like I looked up the buildings I wanted to explore prior to the trip, right? So what I'm sharing and alluding to is I took initiative, I wrote down what I wanted, and then I made a plan to go visit these buildings and then kind of feel it out. Because I think by then, being in the building is more like intuitive, more of a sense of, okay, this feels like home. So I went to the building that I currently live in, and the first unit instantly was like, this is it. And I actually, because I knew it so strongly, I did look at other units, but like walking into the first one, I was like, this is probably going to be it. But of course, I still checked the other units in the same building just to be sure. But I pretty much knew that I was going to live in this building. And so I actually canceled, or rather just didn't show up to the other appointments I had for other buildings, just because I knew. And I think the process here is, after taking initiative of like figuring out, okay, is this, can I do this? Is this where I want to live, right? Okay, go physically see the place, you know? And I think this is the same for me. I think I haven't shared this on the podcast or anywhere really before, but I recently, had a kind of a realization that I've been in my apartment for a little, well, not too long, but like, I think it's like time, you know, I finally feel like it's time for me to move on from the apartment I've been living in, despite how much I'm going to miss the way the space is laid out. It's like a perfect studio space and shape because of what I can fit in there. And it's spacious for a studio. You know, there's a lot of living space, but it is the longest lease I've ever had. I've obviously renewed it, but you know, I've never lived in a place for more than a year or like 14 months. Definitely have never lived in a place for more than 2 years, like my own apartment. So this apartment is going to be, I would have lived in it for more than 2.5 years. It'll be like 2 years and 9 months, I believe, which is crazy, right? But I had that feeling. I had that feeling, I think, in recent months where as much as I love the unit, it feels like it's time to, you know, part ways with it and find something new. And a part of it, I think, is like that energy thing I feel where I noticed that it would be best for me to go somewhere new, like a new unit, not leaving New York City physically, like, but you know what I mean? But also in part because I do want to save a little bit on rent. So finding a place that's either got concessions where it's like a month or 2 months free, where it, you know, saves me money for the year, or just finding a place in general that has rent that's like a couple hundred dollars less. And I'm very transparent about that. I think it's because I know that I want to be able to have a little bit more leeway for travel spending or whatever. And yeah, it's just kind of, I think, one of those things where it's going to be bittersweet. I'll, of course, I think, share the journey of that on Instagram. So if you're not already following me on Instagram, it's at Emily E. Duong, and I'll definitely be documenting that and sharing on the Instagram. But I do want to share a little bit more into, I guess, personal examples in my life of where I'm taking initiative and like the reason behind it. And I do this exercise where I'm often sharing a personal tidbit of what I'm doing, because I've noticed when I listen to podcasters or YouTubers or anyone that I admire in some form, I really love when they share how they're doing it in their life, because in a way, like I get to imagine how I would model that in my own life, right? Versus trying to tell you what to do or how you could do it. So some bullet notes I wrote down. Number one, I currently want to expand as a content creator, and I've been a micro creator for a long time, as I shared, been doing dabbles of content creation for years now, since college and before it became what it is today. But throughout the years, I shifted focus in, of course, like my corporate job, and then, you know, picking up this podcast, and then, of course, my agency. And these things help keep me financially afloat and having the ability to live my life the way I live. But I realized that I have been leaving some things, I think, on the table as a content creator. And on top of that, while I don't have a desire to be a full-time content creator per se, right, where I'm living solely off of, you know, whatever I'm making as a content creator, I realized that I want to push that more. I want to be able to grow as a creator, and I want to be able to do more brand campaigns and deals in the way that makes sense to me. So what I've been doing, taking initiative, right, the theme of this episode, I've been doing extensive outreach to different brands. And what I mean, literally 5 to 10 different brands per day I'm reaching out to. 5 to 10 different brands. Yesterday, I think it was like actually closer to 15. But I'm sharing that because that actually is the same way that I was able to do hotel collaborations in Paris. So for those of you who are super outside of the content creator space, if you ever see a content creator or influencer or whatever posting their stay at a hotel and they're tagging the hotel in a certain way that seems like they're really trying to push that hotel, it's likely that they're staying there for free. And this is kind of as a agency owner working with a lot of hotels, it's a great, great marketing technique and great win-win for everyone. But that's something that I was fortunately able to enjoy in Paris on my recent trip, because I took the initiative since early January, took the initiative to reach out to, I want to say roughly like 30 different hotels. Most of January was doing that because I got a lot of no's, I got a lot of no responses, and that was able to lead me to 2 different hotel collaborations for the trip in end of February, where my partner and I, we went for my birthday. So just kind of sharing the behind the scenes, right? A lot of people, I think, aren't as aware as to what it takes to actually get these, at least in the content creator space, these campaigns or deals or partnerships. On the other hand, another note I wrote here is that something I'm looking to do is to increase my monthly revenue from my marketing agency. So what am I doing to take initiative? I am doing outreach to 20 prospective clients per week. I've worked in sales before, so I remember the numbers that they would use to tell us how many we need to reach out to. And basically, I think if I remember correctly, it was like for every 12 we reach out to, I guess in that specific industry, I think the best case scenario would be that we would close two of them. I think that's what it was. It was either every 10 or every 12, only two of them would end up being a yes or something. And that's like, that would be like an ideal, right? So once again, if my goal is to increase revenue, to bring in some new clients, then that's the initiative I'm gonna take. Same thing. Another one I wrote here is if I want to work with more clients and businesses in Miami as both an agency and a content creator, I have to also focus location outreach in Miami. And I also have to have my face there more and also just ensure that I'm mindful with my time in Miami every time I'm visiting, like to ensure that I'm getting in, you know, different events into my calendar or different partnerships or whatever that may look like. And so kind of to wrap this up, I think one of the best things I can share with you as a listener is to really think about where you are taking initiative in your life and where you are actually not taking initiative. Because while there are different factors in life that kind of control the direction of, or rather not control, but impact the direction of your life, 90% of it is actually just you taking initiative, you taking action to get the results that you want, right? For me as a content creator, I can't just wait for the brands to email me, right? Or getting the guests I have on my show. While I do have a lot of people that pitch different guests for my show, if I want someone on my show, I have to reach out. I have to follow up, right? So whatever it is that you want different in your life, if you want certain results, you have to take initiative. You have to start somewhere. You can't just wait for someone to make it easier for you, or you can't just assume that, oh, that influencer online, like because they have so many followers, like life is a lot easier for them to get brands. No, right? I have shy of 10K followers, and I was still able to get two hotel collaborations in Paris because I did the outreach, right? So I think that really goes to show that if you want something in your life, and especially if you want it as much as you say you do, you will do whatever it takes to get there or get that thing or make that shift in your life. And that's gonna just come down to you. All right, that was all for today's Tuesday solo episode. If you enjoyed this topic, if you learned something from it, please be sure to rate and review the podcast on Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen. And for all of the podcast merch, the card game, the journal, the hats, which are perfect for spring, you can find that online at whatfulfillsyou.com. You can get a little 10% off with the code in the show notes. And the Instagram, you can follow us at whatfulfillsyou, and my personal one at Emily E. Duong. Thanks again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next episode.